Hi everyone, and thank you for listening to Lit Radio Podcast once again. I'm your host, Thea. Today, I welcome Sally Ann Airy to talk about her first book, Mindful Command, The Way of the Evolving Leader. Sally Ann is the founder of Skillful Leaders, where she coaches leaders and their teams to become who they really want to be and to do the work they really want to do. Earlier, in her 23-year career in the Royal Navy, she was at the forefront of leadership practice and development. She left as a commander and the Navy's first serving mother. In Mindful Command, Sally Ann delivers the lessons she learned in her impressive career in a clear and accessible way. Introducing her Mindful Command framework, she simplifies the journey for others treading the path to developing real leadership skills. Hi, Sally Ann. It's a great pleasure to have you with us today on the Lit Radio podcast. I'm very excited to speak with you about your book, Mindful Command. And Sally Ann, you had an extraordinary experience in the Royal Navy. So first of all, could you tell us how that shaped your understanding of leadership in the way you see it today? And then why did you decide to write the book, Mindful Command?
Well, good morning, Thea, and thank you very much for having me. It's a really great pleasure to be here with you today. And, you know, that's such a great question. In essence, in my view, leadership today is what it's always been, actually. And that's engaging people to get the right things done in a way that everyone flourishes. What has changed, though, is the context. As we all know, we live in an extraordinarily high-speed world with instant internet communication and computerized processes and AI. And this has a direct impact on our expectations. And our expectations are far higher today than they've ever been. We want more and more, faster and faster. And as a result, you know, we're less patient, we're less tolerant, we're more demanding. And we find it more difficult than ever to create the space we need simply to be in this world, to see each other and what's going on around us. You know, I think perhaps the greatest irony of this world that we've created is that it makes it simply being here the most difficult thing of all. So I think the challenge today for leaders everywhere is to be present and to listen and to connect and to see what matters most. Because without that, you can't really lead. So what I've learned from my experience, you know, my leadership experience in the Royal Navy for 23 years, and in business, and as a leadership coach, what I've learned is this: to make the impact we want to make in the world, we can't do that if the impact isn't felt. And the only time anything can be felt is now. And that's why I wrote the book. You know, what I'm saying is not new. It's the wisdom of the sages over the centuries who've told us this. And today, we're ignoring it. And I wanted to bring that wisdom together with my own observation as a leadership coach and my experience as a leader. I wanted to bring all of this together into a concise, practical guide that can really help busy leaders be who they want to be and act in a way they really want to be able to every day.
Absolutely, Sally Ann. So before we speak about the book in more detail, could you tell us a little bit more about the program that you run, which is called Evolving Leadership? I know that you coach 8 different leaders in the span of 9 months. So could you tell us more about that?
Well, yeah, no, thank you, Tia. Yes, it is, as you say, a program. It's an annual program for a group of eight leaders, deliberately only eight, because I want the experience to feel personal, but also to be part of a group of people on a similar journey. So it's both personal and intimate, and it's a shared experience. And it's a 9-month journey. We start in March, we finish in November, and it's a combination of online work, one-to-one coaching with me every month, a group session with the rest of the group every month, teaching and learning the different aspects of Mindful Command. And then to consolidate the experience, the group comes to the French Alps, to the valley where I live, twice. So they come for the first time in June and for the second time in October. And that's all about integrating the learning. And it's vital, actually, that they come, because this work began in the mountains. It's inspired by the mountains. And it's as if when we come to the mountains and when we come together, it's as if it all comes to life. And I think its impact is greatest when people arrive here and feel it. It's, you know, if you like, for the people coming on the program, it's a commitment, but it's also a guided experience to support leaders who feel that they don't have time to do this for themselves. You know, if a leader decides that they want to work on themselves, they often don't know where to begin. And what this program does is it supports, takes care of that for them, if you like, and supports them through the journey. So by the end of the 9 months, or if you like, the year in which it happens, they feel as if something has shifted. And they move into a different sense of who they are, from which they then evolve further.
That sounds like a very powerful program and very interesting from what I've also seen on your website. And thanks for sharing with us more about that. But now let's talk a little bit about the book and what's in there. My first question related to the content of the book is, what are the signs of skillful leaders in the book? You say that there are five signs that we should be looking for.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, when I sat and thought about this, my work is what I call skillful leadership. And when I, you know, and I designed and developed the framework Mindful Command as a foundation for skillful leadership. And then when I wrote the book, I thought, so when a leader shows up skillfully, you know, how do they do that? You know, the foundations are there to support them, the foundations of Mindful Command, which I'm sure we'll talk about in a moment as well. But, you know, what do they actually add up to? And what in the evolving journey of becoming increasingly skillful, which is a journey of life, it continues throughout the whole of our life. You know, I thought, what is it that are the signs that guide us along the way? So it's not so much the product of skillful leadership, but focusing on, if you like, the road signs that guide us. So that's what I mean by the signs. And those, as you say, there are five of them, at least in my view of how I see this. So the first of those signs, if you like, if you imagine yourself walking a lot, you know, through your life, and you come across a sign that reminds you what it is to be more skillful. And the first one is slow down. So in this busy, crazy, crazy, busy life that most of us lead, I find that such a helpful reminder. Slow down. Be present. Get to know yourself. It sounds simple. It's not easy. And it's absolutely critical to how we evolve. So in the context of slowing down, being present, getting to know yourself, what then it might be, if you like, the next sign you might come across is to have a very clear vision of what matters most. In any situation, we can get so caught up in stuff that when it comes right down to it, when we look back on it afterwards, perhaps, didn't really matter that much. And yet we get all caught up in it and vexed by it and frustrated by it and so on. And in the end, it just didn't matter. So having, if you like, the clear vision of what matters most and the courage to act on it. And that can be really hard. But when we do, when we see what matters most and we have the courage to act on it, if you like, we're moving along our path in a way that makes us more skillful. And so, you know, there we are walking along our path through life. And another really, really important sign in skillful leadership is to build connection. So to build connection, we need to see people as they are. See through all of the stuff that they may be showing up with, same as we do. All of the nonsense that throws us off balance, that causes us to say things we don't mean. And see through that to build a meaningful connection. Because as leaders, that's absolutely essential. So then, you know, we're walking our way and we come to a fourth sign. And that sign says, embrace ambiguity. You know, life is ambiguous. It isn't certain. We'd like it to be because it would be so much easier, wouldn't it? But it isn't. It's uncertain and it's ambiguous. So if we can work with ambiguity in a way that is caring and compassionate, that understands, that seeks to understand, you know, life becomes easier, actually. It becomes lighter, perhaps less serious, more fun. And it's also responding to the reality of life, you know, quite pragmatically, actually. If life is ambiguous, there's no point pretending it's not. So if we can embrace ambiguity, we open up our capacity to be with life as it is. And that is very important to leading skillfully. And finally, as we walk along our path, we might see a fifth sign, which is what I call holding space. The sign might say, hold space. So what do I mean by that? What I mean is developing the capacity to create space so that we respond to life's events consciously rather than reacting to them unconsciously. And when we create space for ourselves and we hold that space, it develops our capacity to do that for others. So to hold space, what I mean by that is to pause, to calm your busy mind, and simply listen without judgment or any desire to comment, and, you know, a genuine desire to understand. And that's both for ourselves and for others. So I'll just run through those five signs again, if you like. So they are to slow down, to see what matters most, to build connection, embrace ambiguity, and hold space. And it is the foundations of mindful command that support our capacity to not ignore those signs.
Well, that's very powerful. Thank you for sharing that, Sally Ann. And yeah, you just mentioned the mindful command framework, so let's explore it a little bit in a bit more depth. So it has four foundations, which you call balanced awareness, clear purpose, fearless compassion, and inner stability. So let's discuss all of them, starting with balanced awareness. What's that about?
Thank you, Taya. Yes, it sounds like quite a lot, doesn't it? All of these things. And it might feel as if it's an awful lot we have to remember. And you know what? I think in my book, I've done my very best to explain them as simply and accessibly as possible. And I think it is all of these things are a practice. You know, we can't do them all at once. And so before I get into the foundations of Mindful Command, I would just love to say that, you know, I started thinking about all this stuff a very long time ago. And it's evolved very gradually over time. And, you know, for anybody listening to this podcast, I would just say, you know, yeah, please do buy the book because it'll help you have an easy, accessible reference. But when you do, or if you decide to re-listen to any part of what I'm saying now, pick the thing, one thing that resonates with you now, and start doing it. And don't worry about all of the others. And don't think, oh my God, you know, I can't be skillful until I've done everything. It's really about doing something. So pick one thing and start doing it. So that having been said, I just wanted to kind of, if anyone listening to this is starting to feel a little bit alarmed about all of the things, you know, just to say that this book encompasses and embraces all of the things, but you're allowed to just pick one, see how it goes, and then when you're ready, pick another. And that's how it goes. That's how it works. And you might find that when you pick one thing, you know, it helps something else. The other thing becomes easier. But that is your journey. That is your path. And it's for you to work with it in your way. Okay, so now I'll answer your question, Taya, and thank you for that. So the first foundation of Mindful Command is, as you say, what I call balanced awareness. And this is to do with the fact that, you know, one of the challenges, I think, in life and in leadership is being able to see things as they really are and not necessarily as we think they are. Because, you know, the truth, if you like, is rarely simple. And it's often masked by our own and others' subjective judgment. I.e., you know, what's going on in our head, what we feel and what we think may be getting in the way of what is true. So seeing things as they really are is really quite hard. You know, we just think we do. But there's a real risk that because we think we're seeing it, we miss something that isn't there. We see something that isn't there and we miss something that is there. So in order to see things as they are, we need to be connected, yes, and empathic, yes, so that we can be engaged and involved and understanding. And we need to be able to step back and be impartial and objective. So we mustn't, if you like, to see things as they are, we mustn't get all caught up in what's happening. We need to be connected to it, but not caught up in it. So it's a big ask. So it may sound simple, but it's actually a big ask of ourselves. And so what I've found is helpful is to step back and pay attention to three key touch points. When you're looking at any situation, you need to check in, if you like, with three key touch points, and they are yourself, others, and the context. Again, sounds really simple, but to form an accurate judgment of what's happening, you need to become an impartial observer of all three. So if you like, observing yourself, what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what's going on for you, observing others, what they're thinking and feeling and what's going on for them, and then looking at the whole context, you know, what's happening right now. And what is needed for a leader in any situation, I think not paying attention to any one of those can be quite dangerous. So I think it's a vital skill for any skillful leader, and it's why it's the first foundation of Mindful Command.
And then the next foundation is clear purpose. So could you tell us more about that as well?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, when we have a balanced awareness of what is happening in any moment, a really important question to ask ourselves, just generally in life, actually, is, am I clear? Because as a leader, if you're not clear, what you say and what you do won't be clear either. And the people you lead and work with will struggle to see what you need and want. So as a leader, your clarity is critical, because your job is to create a clear vision of what's possible and to engage people to find the best way through all of the challenges along the way. So when you're clear, it's easier for others to commit to the work too. And in that sense, your clear purpose becomes a clear shared purpose. So that's why clarifying your purpose, being clear, is the second foundation of Mindful Command. And in the book, I share a simple and very effective way of getting clear on anything and everything in life, from, you know, going on holiday to your life's work, if you like.
Yeah, it's definitely very interesting to read that part of the book about being clear. I think it's a very important skill, not just for leaders. And then the third foundation you call fearless compassion. So what is this about?
Yeah, so, and I agree with you, Taya, by the way, you know, it isn't just for leaders, although I think of us all being leaders in some way, in the way that we show up in the world. You know, being clear is also so important as a parent, as a partner, you know, as a friend. Absolutely, you know, clarity it helps us through our lives, doesn't it? You know, helps us have less likely to stumble through our life and more lead ourselves through it. And so, you know, as we lead ourselves through life, we from time to time are going to hit obstacles. It's inevitable. It's part of life. And we're going to have choices to make. And so fearless compassion is a capacity to cultivate the courage to make the right choice. And only we can know what the right choice is. And sometimes we have to face ourselves to make that choice, and it can be really hard. And what gets in the way is some kind of fear, some kind of anxiety. When I say anxiety, I think of it in terms of the fear of an imagined future. But they are part of being human. You know, fear and anxiety are a natural part of being human. Obstacles in life are a normal part of life. And sometimes the obstacle can just kind of appear from nowhere, or it can kind of creep up on us. It might be something that's been a bit buried in our life that we haven't quite faced, and it, you know, it creeps up. So it can either be external or it can be internal, but either way, it can feel horrible, and we can do our very best to avoid them, to evade them, if you like, and, you know, seek distraction elsewhere rather than facing them. So fearless compassion, as I said earlier, you know, is about cultivating the courage to face them, actually. And doing the right thing is to face them. If we don't do that, you know, that they're just not going to go away, and they're going to continue to hurt us. So what is the best way to become fearlessly compassionate, to, if you like, to face our fear with a compassionate, inquiring mind? The best way is to listen. So when the thoughts come up, rather than judging ourselves for them, judging ourselves harshly normally, and feeling horrible. If instead we listen, we open up our mind compassionately and with kindness and care to listen. And we might need some help with that. You know, we might need to work with someone who's qualified to help us listen, because the listening might be painful, but it's where it starts. And it does take courage. But that courage, the courage to listen, is the same courage that will help you do the right thing. So again, in my book, I share a lot of practical examples of how this can happen and work in everyday life, and the different ways that you can cultivate it and work with it for yourself.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Thanks, Salian. And then the final foundation of the Mindful Command framework is inner stability. So what is this and how do we achieve it?
Yeah, so again, as a foundation of Mindful Command, foundation of skillful leadership, inner stability is actually the bedrock of them all. It's one of the foundations, and it's also the bedrock of the other three. As you cultivate the other three, your inner stability grows, and with inner stability, you can approach the others more skillfully. So inner stability is what enables you to stand clearly and calmly and courageously for what matters and not be thrown off course. So inner stability is a capacity that you can develop, like all of the others, to avoid being triggered in a difficult or confrontational situation and reacting in a way that you might later regret. So it's all about, as I said earlier, it's all about pausing and giving yourself just enough time and space to respond in a calm, measured, and considered way. And if you can master a way of doing that, you can always show up as your clear, grounded, centered self, no matter what. So this is not about being perfect. It's not about always getting it right, but it is about, you know, connecting with that part of yourself that feels grounded and stable and knowing how to show up in that way. Because when you do that as a leader or a parent or a partner or a friend, you know, you generate your best impact. You know, you make the impact that you want to make. And there are many different ways of cultivating this sense of groundedness. And I share those again in my book.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all fascinating. But now I would like to speak with you about nature, because in the book, it seems like the connection with nature is very important for you. And you also mentioned earlier in our conversation that you specifically moved to the French Alps because you wanted to be surrounded by mountains when you wake up in the morning. So why do you think the connection with nature is so vital for leaders, and it's also so important in your leadership coaching philosophy?
Yeah, no, thank you. I think our connection with nature is very important. And it's also really easy to overlook it, you know, when we live in an urban environment, in our busy jobs, our full lives, you know, rushing from thing to thing, we can just overlook it, barely even notice it. And yet we are a part of nature. And nature holds many lessons for us. If we pause for long enough in the right environment to observe them. And, you know, as you say, we were lucky enough to live in the Alps. We decided to move here. It wasn't easy. Renovating the big old farmhouse, we were completely broke. We had to work extremely hard to make ends meet for quite a long time. But I did notice very soon after moving to the Alps and to the mountains that when people visited us, how profoundly they were affected by the awe-inspiring scenery that we have here. And it sort of took them out of themselves. And they found their minds opening up to all kinds of new ideas and inspiration. And, you know, and that's what nature does for us. It brings perspective. It reminds us that we're part of a bigger picture, that actually things that feel important to us, and indeed, of course, many things are, but they are part of something bigger. And so I see regular connection or reconnection with nature as very important to our inner stability, which, as I said, you know, is one of the most important attributes, if you like, of being a skillful leader. And actually, that's why, you know, on our Evolving Leadership program, the leaders come here, as I said earlier, you know, not only to integrate the learning in the program, but also so that they experience, you know, the sense of awe that can open our minds.
Absolutely. I can say, as someone who lives in a city, spending some time in nature really recharges me and makes me see the world differently. So yeah. I absolutely agree, the connection with nature is essential. And then I have one last question for you, Sally-Ann. What would be your top three tips for anyone who is listening to us at the moment and who wants to start their journey towards evolving as a leader? What would be the first three steps that they should take?
Well, I guess, you know, building on what we said just now and what you yourself observed, Taya, when you get out into nature is, you know, get out into nature more for sure and experience the benefits of that, you know, the benefits of starting to see things a little differently. You know, notice how you feel when you're there and how you feel afterwards and what has shifted. So I think being in nature has a direct impact on our capacity to be skillful as leaders, as parents and partners. We need it. As I said, we're part of nature. And as a leader, you know, as a leadership coach, I have come to see leadership as an integral part of life. And evolving as a leader, as a process which continues throughout our life, it never stops. And, you know, the essence of skillful leadership, as I said earlier, isn't what you do, but how you are. And as a leader, motivating people to give of their best is about being your best consistently over time. So getting out into nature is really important to that, because being in nature connects with a part of us where we are at our best. And so if I were to suggest, quite apart from getting out into nature, some equally tangible steps that you might take, is to realize that all of this, all of the essence of skillful leadership begins with you, and recognizing that you need to work on yourself. And if you know that in principle but don't know where to start, then I would encourage you to buy my book or any other book that appeals to you or gives you the sense of leading you in the direction you want to go. So yeah, I would recommend you buy my book. I would also recommend you work with someone you trust who can help you on your way. Perhaps some kind of therapy or counseling, if that's what you feel you need to uncover and explore something within you that's been troubling you, and or coaching to help you tackle where you are now and where you want to move towards. And, you know, if as a leader you would like to dig deeper and hand, if you like, the responsibility for the direction of the journey and the structure of the journey and the content of the journey hand that over to someone else, then I would encourage you to come on my program, the Evolving Leadership Program that I mentioned earlier, because we take care of that for you. And what we ask of you is that you show up with commitment to that journey and you share that journey with seven other leaders. But it does give you the opportunity, if you are looking for it, to dig deeper into who you are as a leader and how you align that with how you lead.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Sally-Anne, for this fascinating conversation today. It was a great pleasure to speak with you about the book, about your framework and your program. And of course, I would encourage anyone that's listening to us now to buy the book. And yeah, if they want, they can also get on the program. So thanks very much, Sally-Anne.
No, it's been a huge pleasure. Thank you for your time and commitment. And I hope you have a great week ahead.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget to keep an eye on our social media at Lit Publishing on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter, and at Lit Business Media on LinkedIn for more information about new books and podcasts with thought leaders. We are now also on TikTok, so make sure you follow us at Lit Publishing. See you next time on Lit Radio Podcasts.